Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premiere Networks on Saturday, December 15th, 2018. This is episode 1549. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And by Brex, the first corporate credit card for startups. Get the card free, and TWiT listeners get Brex card fees waived in perpetuity at Brex, BREX.com/TWiT. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here. That's me. I'm your worst nightmare. I'm a geek with a radio show. The Tech Guy, they call me. What an honorific. I'm here to talk tech. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. If you want to talk tech with me, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. You could use the same number, but it won't be free unless you use some sort of Skype out or some voice that calls regular, you know, internet voice stuff that calls regular phone lines, that kind of thing. And then it should be free for you. 8888-ASK-LEO. You might ask, what is this show about, Mr. Laporte? And I might say, this show is about anything with a chip in it, which would be, of course, a computer and the internet, but also hard drives. I have hard drives that have chips in them. Voice assistants, those things that talk back to you, sometimes when you least expect it. Did you see the Amazon Echo? This was a couple of months ago, that was giggling at people, and they thought, what's going on? This is spooky laughter. You know what we do with technology? We, here's the big word, anthropomorphize it. We take things that are just mechanical machines, no different than, a bicycle. You wouldn't expect a bicycle to talk to you. But we anthropomorphize them. We attribute human characteristics to them, intelligence. And it's not, I mean, I'm not surprised if you give this thing speech, it gets harder and harder to distinguish it between a human, but it's not, it's a machine. It's no more human than a bicycle. It's just a bicycle that talks. No more human than that. Or a toaster. You probably have a talking toaster sooner or later. I have a talking toaster oven. Does that count? Reminds me. Remember we were talking about this the other day. There were a spate of shows about, first it was talking animals. Francis the Talking Mule, Mr. Ed, hello, Wilbur. But then in a feat of over exuberance, one of the television networks said, what if we took a car, an old Packard, and made it talk? And My Mother the Car was born. A year later, it went away because it was a terrible idea, even if Ann Southern was the voice. And then Kit, remember Kit? Knight Rider. But Kit wasn't, so My Mother the Car was his mother, so it was a human voice and a human personality in the car. Kit was kind of more robotic, right? Kit was more like our Amazon Echoes in Knight Rider than a human. But what happens when you get to, and it's the stuff of science fiction right now, but it doesn't seem too far off, when you get to a voice so well done that it sounds human? But it's not. It's no more human than a bicycle or a toaster. It's still a machine. It doesn't think. We have trouble with that as human beings. We want to really ascribe human attributes to things that seem like humans. They don't look like humans, but they sound like humans. Even regular computers, we call them her. We give her name. Cars. People name their cars, right? I mean, it's a normal thing to do, I think, if you're a human being. It is the most anthropomorphic of anthropomorphic attributes is to assign human emotions and motives and feelings to a device. It's something we should caution ourselves against, though, I think, because it blurs the debate about these things. And we are rapidly entering this realm. We are rapidly entering so many realms that we don't know what the heck to do with. Biological engineering, you know, gene editing. Seems to be that just happened in China. It's not clear. Dr. The guy who did it, has disappeared now. But it was thought that he was doing it with the approval of the Chinese government, even though every government in the world, including China, has said no gene editing is allowed. Can't do that on humans. No, you can do it. Well, not humans yet, but you know, in fact, the technique he used called CRISPR has been used to do things like make trees photoluminescent. You take the gene from, you know, those fish that glow in the dark. They glow in the dark because they are so deep in the ocean that there's no light, so they have to provide their own light. They're bioluminescent, or they use it for attraction, sexual attraction, and things like that. It's not very sexy, but I guess it works. And you figure out what's doing that, what part of that genome is doing that. You cut it, just like cut and paste. You cut it with some sort of chemistry called CRISPR, and then you paste it into a tree genome, and lo and behold, you've got trees that glow in the dark. That's allowed, actually. That's not illegal. Illegal is doing that to a human, and that's apparently exactly what at least one Chinese researcher claims he did. CRISPR stands for, get this, clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats. That sounds like you're pushing it a little hard just to get it sound sexy and cool. CRISPR. In any event, this CRISPR editing is coming soon. If it hasn't happened already, and it might have, the doctor, Dr. He, claimed that twin babies had been born. They had he'd use CRISPR, he said, to remove a gene, you know, cut it but not paste it, cut it, that gave the children a better resistance to HIV and cholera and smallpox, which you don't really need resistance to anymore because it's history. But in any event, why not? You just cut that gene? Problem is, we don't know what the side effects of such a thing are. We'll find out, I guess. I know what the side effects are of machines talking like humans. It freaks people out, especially when they sound less robotic or they do unexpected things like laugh suddenly for no apparent reason. Humans do that all the time. My grandma should be sitting there. She goes, just giggle. She thought of something funny. But when your Amazon Echo does that, that's creepy. The problem is, it isn't. It's a machine. It's like a bicycle. And there is a whole, I know, this is preaching to the wind. There's a whole cause and effect deterministic sequence that caused that thing to go, you could trace it back all the way and say, oh yeah, some programmer did this and then that and it heard this. And it would completely demystify it. Meanwhile, we would prefer to think it's creepy and spooky. My daughter told me, and now you tell me if this is true. She said, no, I swear, Dad, Instagram. I don't have Instagram, so I don't know. I killed all my social media accounts for this kind of reason, by the way. She said her friend opened Instagram on her phone and then said baby ducks a bunch of times. And like for a day or two said baby ducks just at random moments. And then lo and behold, she started getting ads for, I don't believe this, baby ducks? No. That's what my daughter told me this. Friend of a friend, I think, right? You know how that is. Oh no, it's true. A friend of mine's friend saw Bigfoot. It's true. Have you ever done that experiment? I'm tempted to reactivate Instagram just to try it. 88, you'd be better off thinking of these things as machines that are being given human attributes. Otherwise, you can't think reasonably about them. You get all creeped out and you start making up stories. Not that that's a bad thing. 8880, what's wrong with that? That's what I do. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. Let's talk high tech. Make up some stories. Tell me if your Instagram knows what you're thinking and shows you ads for baby ducks or whatever. 888-827-5536. TechGuyLabs.com is my website. I tell you that because we put stuff up there from the show, so you don't have to write anything down. Also, audio and video after the fact. And it's free, TechGuyLabs.com. It's like candy. It's Kim Sheffer. It's like candy. Hey, Kim.
How are you?
I am well. Kim is our phone angel.
Yes.
She answers the phone.
I have a name now.
Is there a song, Phone Angel, Phone Angel?
Will you be mine?
It feels like that would be a song.
It's a little dated, but...
Yeah, you want something a little more modern, like candy.
Candy. Who doesn't like candy?
Who doesn't like candy? So, have you been answering the phones? Like
I have, and I have a feeling for the next 2 weekends, we're going to get a lot of these calls looking for Christmas gifts.
Oh, I like spending people's money. So, yes, I don't mind that.
I think you're going to be spending a lot of money today.
Yay.
So let's go to Cheryl in Palmdale looking for a Chromebook for an elderly father.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Hello to
Hello.
Cheryl in Palmdale. How are you?
Yeah. Pretty good today. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. I was calling to find out. My father had an iMac that completely died on him.
Yeah.
And that's what he's familiar with, but he doesn't need that much of a computer anymore. He pretty much emails, surfs, does, like, YouTube videos, stuff
yeah.
like that. And so we're thinking about budget-friendly Chromebook. I was looking at the Acer Chromebook 15.
Love it.
And our biggest question with it is, because of his eyesight and that, even though that's a 15-inch, I have an older HP monitor that's still very good. And can something like this, can you connect it to another monitor?
Yeah, well, you probably don't need to get a Chromebook if that's what you want to do. There are ways. There's Chrome boxes, which are monitorless Chromebooks that are designed for, they're kind of like a Mac Mini, if you're familiar with that. And yeah, since he had an iMac, I think this is a good way to go because he's going to want a big screen, right? And you have an old screen.
Right.
You probably have a keyboard and mouse lying around. Even if you don't, they're about $20. You know, they're nothing.
Yeah, I actually have all that from my dead HP computer.
Perfect.
So
take a look. Asus also makes, they call them Chrome boxes. Look just like a Mac Mini. They're designed to run like a Mac Mini. They're about $200. They're actually less expensive because you're not buying a screen and a keyboard and all that.
Right.
Asus makes very good ones in a variety of capabilities. You know, the more you spend, the faster the processor will be. But since they're not doing a screen, I mean, I think you're going to find the prices are very nice.
Oh,
and he's
okay.
going to be happier because it's harder to get into trouble with a Chromebook.
Yes.
They're secure by nature. And if all you're doing is email and, you know, everything you're doing is in a browser, it's a perfect choice.
One of the things I always had to worry about is he would see like these tank games and things like that on TV and he'd go and try to load them up.
Exactly.
I don't know who he'd load them through and all of a sudden Mac cleaner's coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, this won't happen with that. This is very popular in schools too because teenagers and grandpas do the same thing. And so schools love these as well. If you get the Chromebox 3, it'll actually support two displays if you want.
Oh, okay.
If you really want to go crazy with Gramps, but he probably doesn't need all that. But that's the point is that, and you get to choose the size, the quality, the size and quality of the keyboard and the mouse. He'll feel right at home. From his point of view, it'll be an iMac.
Oh, good. Yeah, because he now has two of those sitting in boxes that are dead.
Aww.
So
the nice thing is these things are small enough you can actually mount them on the back of a monitor.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And then it really, it kind of pretty much feels like an iMac.
Right.
So Chromebox 3 from Asus is a very good choice. There are other companies that make these, but I think that's a good, since you're already familiar with Asus. They even make something they call a Chrome Bit, which is a stick that sticks into a monitor. But I'm worried about sticks and heat. They're cheaper, but I'm just worried about the heat. And so, you know, this is a, I think the box is a good compromise. It's not going to have heat problems. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good then.
Great holiday gift, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he he needs it. He's going stir crazy. I got him a fire stick to play with for now.
Well, that's what these Chrome bits are like. They're like fire sticks, yeah. but they're Chrome OS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's another thing to think about. I'm sure that HP has an HDMI port. You just stick it in the back of that. Turns the computer.
I believe it does, yes.
Yeah, turns the monitor into a computer.
I'll have to check those two out.
And there are Chrome OS O-in-1, all-in-ones. They're called Chrome Bases.
Right. He wants to get away from the all-in-one.
Oh, good. He should. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what we're trying to decide would be cheaper just because, like I said, I've got an old HP back when, what was it, Vista. And
yeah.
The hard drive's dead. And it's like, well, you get the hard drive, you got to get all that, or why not just get a Chromebook?
Get a Chromebook. It's going to be so much better.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he has to, does he create documents? Does he do any writing or anything like that?
No. Okay. No. He had the iMac because he was into photography and all that and being able to do all of that stuff.
Oh.
But, you know, really not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So
This at least keeps him online, keeps him getting email, seeing pictures. You can send him pictures. You can make the desktop be a photo album if you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a nice choice for an older person.
All right, then we'll definitely check out the Chromebook, see what that's like.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. Glad you called. That's a great question, Cheryl. Thank you. Ted is in Columbus, Ohio. He's next. Hi, Ted.
Hey, how's it going, Leo?
Well, very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We'll see how we're doing here. So, you're my only hope at the galaxy, Leo.
Uh-oh.
No, right?
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I have a question with a gift for Christmas to the in-laws.
Yes.
Their TV sound isn't so good.
No.
And it kind of sounds tinny whenever we watch TV and stuff like that. So they have a Insight cable box and an old universal remote, and I'm looking for a budget sound bar for them.
Vizio makes excellent soundbars, and I'll ask Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guys, joining us in a little bit, but I got my mom a Vizio. Now, the trick is going to be figuring out how to get sound into it. Do they have a relatively modern TV, or is a TV as old as their cable box?
TV is not too bad. It's an LG, just like an LED TV.
Okay. It'll probably have optical out, which is the best way to connect a sound bar. And if it does, then you're golden. You just look on the back and look for an optical port. If not, HDMI can also work. There are other ways to do it. The Vizios range in price from $139, and that includes, so-called built-in subwoofers, which really can't be much of a subwoofer. But you can get, you can go up to $500 or $600 with the Vizios. But all of them are very good soundbars. It's what I got from my mom. It's what she wanted. The other way to go, you said you wanted to save money, but if you don't mind spending a little money, the other way to go is and I've mentioned this before, the Sonos Beam soundbar, which gives them Sonos internet radio capabilities as well. But that's $500 for five. That's more expensive. Look at the Vizio soundbars. I think they're great. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will ask Scott Wilkinson next. Scott Wilkinson sees clearly. He's our home theater geek. Before we get to your topic, I just wanted to, you probably heard that previous call, guy looking for an inexpensive sound bar.
Yep.
I said Vizio. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
Inexpensive sound bar, that's the first name that comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's what I got
it's
my
good.
Mom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's very happy with it.
You know, the optical output from the TV to the soundbar is the best way to go. However, I will put a caveat on that, which is if you get one of the Vizio soundbars that has true surround, like 5.1 with extra speakers in the back and a wireless sub and stuff, the optical output of the TV is often only two channel.
Yeah.
So if you know you're going to do it that way, I probably recommend getting a 2.1 soundbar. Don't spend the money on the extra surround speakers.
Well, what's the other way to connect that he wouldn't care about? It sounds like he has an old analog cable box, so I don't know if he's got.
Yeah, so it'll have an analog audio output probably.
Yeah, he could just pump that into it, huh?
And if it's an old box, who knows? It might not even have surround. And the only way to get it out.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. He doesn't.
Does it even have HDMI? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, still, Vizio soundbar is going to be the best way to go.
I got my mom, because this was to go with her really, mom, don't listen, her really cheap. her really cheap TV, her TCL TV that she really likes.
Right, right, which is a great inexpensive TV, no doubt.
It was like $300. So I got her the SB3820, which is a two-channel soundbar for $99.
Yep, yep.
I thought
that's not one with a separate subwoofer, right?
No. No.
Okay. She doesn't, so it's not going to have the deep bass.
She doesn't need a subwoofer. Come on. She most of the time actually wears headphones. This is almost like just it's but my thinking was I'm sure that TCL doesn't have great speakers.
No, no doubt.
So this is just a better she's used to TV speakers.
Yeah, so this is a big step up from that.
Exactly. Exactly. I know you're all thinking I'm cheap. But mom's 85, and she's very happy. And I, by the way, gave her an iPad Pro for Christmas. So, you know, I'm a 12.9-inch one. So don't – a pencil and a keyboard. Don't knock it off.
Get off my
You got to have your priorities. I figured the TV, for her, this is great. This is what she won. In fact, I got her a big one. She said, no, it's too big. It's 55 inches. I only want 43. So you understand where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got it.
What do you want to talk about today, Mr. Scott?
Well, I got an email from a listener, actually an installer, Bob Olson in Minnesota, who's doing a home theater install coming up. And he wanted to know about two different projectors, which one he should get. He's in the projectors are in the $5,000 range, which sounds like a lot. And it is. It's certainly not chump change. But he's looking at 4K projectors, HDR capable projectors, and have that under $10,000, well under $10,000, is really quite remarkable, in my opinion. So he's looking at the Sony and the JVC. And these are two of the very best projectors makers, certainly, in the consumer market, no question. And he wonders, you know, which one to get. Well, the Sonys have native 4K resolution, which means they have each individual pixel is there and separately represented on the imaging chips. The JVCs, until the very latest models, use what's called e-shift. So they have fewer pixels on the actual imaging chip, but they're so fast, they wiggle back and forth between two different positions and simulate 4K by in what's called a temporal switching back and forth between two different positions. And you might think, well, geez, wouldn't you really want native 4K and not have to do this pixel wiggling thing? And the answer is yes, theoretically you do. But it's amazing how well that pixel wiggling works. It's really astonishing.
It doesn't sound like it would work well at all.
I know. Well, you remember DLP projectors. How could wiggling tiny micro mirrors work? But they do. That's what's in most commercial cinemas now is DLP projectors.
Yeah.
So anyway, this e-shift, which JVC calls it, Epson calls it 4K enhancement. The imagers inside the projector are actually 1080p, but then they take these pixels and they wiggle them all back and forth, and the two positions have different values of color and brightness and so on, so they can actually create something very close to a 4K image. It's not quite as good, but it's surprisingly good. It's quite amazing, actually.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deciding factor for me is the black level. I'm a sucker for black
level. You are a black level snob.
I am. I love a deep black level. It's really important to me. It makes the rest of the image really pop.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the anti-canvas on which the picture is painted, if you will. And the JVC has it all over the Sony for that. So I've got to say I would go for the e-shifted, pixel-wiggled JVC over the Sony for that reason. Because the pixel wiggling works amazingly well.
You can see why JVC doesn't actually, you know, label it the pixel wiggle.
No.
Right. They probably have a better name for it than, you know.
Yeah, they call it e-shift.
E-shift.
Yeah. So
that kind of implies wiggling pixels. I don't know. E-shift, huh? All right.
Now, it's interesting. In the old days when HD first came out, we had some rear projection TVs, you remember those?
Yeah.
That actually did pixel wiggling too, and they called it wobulation.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, so I recommend the JVC, and it's the one I recommend is the DLA X790. Sorry, DLA-X790R, which has a great native contrast ratio, deep, deep blacks, and it. When it first came out, it listed for $6,000. Now it's on their website for $4,000. So you're even saving some money over the Sony, which the lowest cost Sony is the VPL VW295 ES, and that's going to be $5,000. And it's got native 4K resolution, but it doesn't have those deep, deep blacks that I really like. So, you know, and then he says quickly, he says, well, hey, if I can save some money, maybe I could put that extra money into a 7.2.4 sound system, an Atmos sound system with rear surrounds, as opposed to 5.2.4. He's using two subwoofers. And I say, sure, you know, if the client wants that, that's a good place to put the money, no question. My room, I don't have really enough room for a good rear surround set of speakers, so I'm perfectly happy with 5.1.4. What that means is five speakers around you, one or two subwoofers, 0.1 or 0.2, and then four Atmos speakers overhead. And I definitely prefer four Atmos speakers overhead as opposed to two. So that's he's going in exactly the right direction.
Do you ever leave that room, or you just kind of live there?
Yeah, I leave it sometimes.
Yeah, once in a while.
I have to come in my office and do some work.
That's not your office? Make it your office, man. Then you have every excuse to stay there.
Yeah, but then I couldn't concentrate on my work.
I'm watching TV. Leave me alone.
That's right. As my wife says, I watch TV for a living, but I still have to write about it.
Yeah, darn it. If we could darn just it. Take that part out, everything would be fine. You could talk about it on the radio every week. Scott Wilkinson, he's our home theater geek. Thank you, Scott.
Bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. See, I put all the TV stuff in the room, so I never have to leave. More of your calls right after this. Wobulation.
Wobulation.
Wobulation. All right. Can you stick around? Do you want to take the con here for a little bit?
I'm happy to do it.
All right. Let me pull the big picture up here.
Oh, yeah. Give me that clock.
Give you that clock. There you go.
Let's see here. UJ is asking, which projector has the best color accuracy? And Tech Dino says, the calibrated one. That's true. That's absolutely true. Now, I'm looking at the reviews of the JVC and the Sony on Sound and Vision. My friend Tom Norton wrote these reviews. And I'm taking a look at his test bench results. And it looks like the Sony probably did a little better post-calibration, but not much. They're both great. The Sony looks like it's also better pre-calibration. So before you do the calibration, it had too much blue in the grayscale for the most part. And the JVC had too much blue and green, almost by the same amount. And really, more to the point, it was deficient in red. But again, after calibration, they both came really nice, really close to where you want them. So I call that a wash in terms of color accuracy. But yeah, I just love JVC black levels. What can I tell you? They just make the whole image pop so nice. Thanks, Mick. I really appreciate that. Oh, it was Twisted Mister who first first mentioned calibration. Sorry. Yeah, Twisted Mister, you often contribute lots of really great stuff to the chat room. So thank you for that. let's see. TXCMS asks, Sony 65-inch X900F or Vizio PQ65? Oh, man, that is a toughie. I'd probably go with the PQ. I'd probably go with the Vizio, believe it or not. I mean, the Sony X900 is a great TV, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I'm sure that the Vizio gets brighter. Now, in that case, I don't know about the black level there. That's a good question. I'd have to do a little research on that, whether or not the Vizio can get down to that super deep black. and how well the Sony does as well in that regard. They're both fold TVs, which means the LED backlight is in an array behind the screen, and little individual zones can be brightened or dimmed to increase the apparent contrast of the picture. I know the Vizio has 192 zones, which is pretty good. Quite good, actually. Sony does not reveal the number of zones in their TVs, so I don't know. You probably couldn't go wrong either way, but honestly, I would probably go for the Vizio because of the quantum dot characteristic, you know, the use of quantum dots in the backlight and the fact that it can get really bright, close to 2,000 nits, which is very rare. Let's see. Mike Mann, do you calibrate to P65 or 9300? Actually, D65, I think, Mike Mann, is what you're thinking of. D65 is the white point that I certainly calibrate to, no question about it. It does look too warm. I'm sure it does compared to 9300K. It looks very warm compared to that. But I encourage you to try and to sit with it for a while, live with it for a while. Get used to it. It's more accurate. It's more accurately reflective of the content provider, of the content creator's vision.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo, the phone number. Line 3, Rich, Tucson, Arizona. Hello. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, but I got a question. I'm going to continue the TV and media theme that you had going with Scott there.
Good.
You saved me a lot of money about a year ago because I called the sound was going out on my 16-year-old Samsung TV, and he said, well, maybe it's the DAC, and so if you have an optical output, well, 16 years old, you probably don't. Well, I did.
Oh.
A sound bar.
Nice.
It was great. I didn't have to buy a new TV.
Nice.
And then 6 months ago, a lightning strike next door took out the HDMI ports on my TV.
Oh, man.
And so we limped along for about a month with an old smart Blu-ray player that had a couple of apps on it. And then I finally said, nah, I can't do this anymore. So I got a 4K TV. Well, you're often talking about how when you budget for a 4K TV, you got to budget for all the pieces that go along with it. Well, I didn't budget for that because this is kind of a sudden thing, and now I'm seeing a problem with DVDs. And so what I need to find out is what is the component that is most likely causing the problem so that I can get the next upgrade if I have to. So we got this 4K 55-inch TV. We really like the picture. Looks great. We got the sound bar, and the sound bar had an ARC HDMI port, so we've even got
nice.
That going. Sounds great. I've got an old, like, 10-year-old non-4K Blu-ray DVD player, and I put in a non-Blu-ray DVD of one of my favorite movies, The Lord of the Rings, and it was kind of jerky.
Jerky?
And, you know,
jerky.
It would go along for, I mean, the picture was fine. I have no problem with the picture quality with whatever they're doing to make it look okay.
So was it pausing briefly and then continuing?
It looked to me like it was more, it would go for about 2 or 3 or 5 seconds. And, you know, they've got those great sweeping panoramas and so it looks beautiful. And then all of a sudden it looked like it would jump about a tiny amount, like 5 milliseconds forward. My wife didn't even notice it, but I.
No, I've seen that too. If you have, because that's a really good place to see it, is a smooth panning shot.
Yep.
It'll go, that's decoding hesitation. It means that whose Blu-ray player did you get?
It's a Samsung.
Scott, do you have any thoughts on that? Scott's still here. He kind of hangs out after the show.
Yeah, oh, love hanging out. Well, if it's an old Samsung, the very first Samsung Blu-ray player even had a few problems, mostly that relate to. Resolution and detail. It was not very good. This jerkiness.
You've seen that, though, haven't you, Scott?
Oh, sure.
I've seen it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Usually in streaming.
What's odd to me is that it's not consistent. From what you're describing, you know, it looks, the pans, the long pans, as you've described them, are very good tests for this. And you've described that they look good for a while, and then all of a sudden they start stuttering.
Yeah, so it looks good for 2 or 3 or 5 seconds, and then it just jumps just the tiniest bit. and then it looks good for another 2, 3, 5, 10 seconds, whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, I was thinking that might be it. I was thinking it might be the player or the TV converting 24 frames per second movie to 30 or 60 frames for video.
Oh, upscaling it kind of.
Upscaling the
you know,
frame
that
rate.
Actually makes sense. Because then you have a situation where it has to jump at some point to to resync.
But 2 or 3 seconds between single jumps doesn't sound like that to me.
There were a few were really short.
I'm sorry?
There were a few that were shorter.
Really, really short, yeah.
And okay. But it's inconsistent, and that's the other weird thing. If it were what I was saying, it would be consistent. It would be happening all the time.
Every 5 seconds, the exact same thing would happen.
Oh, no, much less than that. You'd see it, you know, every second or so.
Yeah, it definitely was not that.
So it's not that. I don't think that's what it is.
But those are two most likely causes. One, it's not keeping up.
Yeah.
And so the bitstream isn't smooth because it's, you know, remember, a DVD player, a Blu-ray player, these are computers. They're decoding bits of data on the disc that are compressed, and they're codecs, and they're running the codec, decompressing it, and sending it out to the screen. Yeah. And it could be in the Samsung player. I bet you it would be different in another Blu-ray player, but
I bet you it would too.
You know, in either case, which would be the syncing up the frame rate or a decoding issue. But in either case, I think a better player might not have that problem.
I would agree.
Most,
I think that's the first thing.
Most likely the player.
Most likely, yeah. It wouldn't be the TV, would it, Scott? I mean,
I doubt it. I mean, you said it's a new 4K TV?
Yeah, it's a TCL 55-inch. I don't remember the model, but it was, you know, relatively inexpensive at Costco.
Seems unlikely. I mean, it's just the TV is just taking the output, admittedly digital output, but I think, I don't know, by then it's decoded, right, Scott? It's just coming in just blasted on the screen.
Yeah.
I would say it's almost certainly the thing that's doing the decoding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, cheap to replace.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. If you want to get a Blu-ray player, you can easily get them for like $50. I would recommend spending a little bit more getting a UHD or 4K Blu-ray player because you have a 4K TV.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Was that if I have to upgrade something at this point and it's the DVD player, then I would definitely get the 4K.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen those, you know, in the $100, $150 range, at least on Black Friday. I haven't looked lately, but
one other thing to try in the chat room suggesting this, and I think they're right, is check and see if there's a firmware update for that Samsung.
Oh, good idea. Excellent point.
I actually did. When we were using it as, like, the only thing going into the composite input for the TV. Nothing looked very good, but I thought, I got to try to get this to look as good as possible. So I upgraded all the software, and that was when I decided, we got to get a better TV.
I would say, you know, you go to a big box store, get a UHD Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
What are the brands you like, Scott?
Sony, Samsung.
We used to love LG. Oppo, but they went out of the business.
Yeah. Just about any major name brand would be totally fine.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I'll probably just stick with the Samsung. I mean, I was always happy with the Samsung on the old TV.
Yeah, they do a fine job. No question.
And Scooter X is passing along in the chat room. We'll put it in the show notes, a link to the Wirecutter's review of UHD players.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, that's good.
Oh,
thanks,
okay,
Scooter.
Great. Yeah,
we like the Wirecutter.
Yeah, I've looked on their site a lot by your recommendation. Yeah.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for calling, and I'm glad to...
All right. Thanks a lot, Leo. Thanks, Scott.
You bet.
I could pull a little Marshall McLuhan, pull Scott out of the out of the background and bring him in. I love doing that.
Hey, happy to do it.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. Big Pee-wee, I think we should take a little time out. We're at the top of the hour. Your local stations definitely want to tell you what's going on in the world around us, and then I will go back and take more calls. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. The website where we put all this stuff, including that link to the Wirecutter's reviews of UHD players, is techguylabs.com. And I should mention it's free. There's no sign up. You just wander in, wander out completely anonymously. We're not keeping track. Techguylabs.com. I am Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. More to come right after this. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Rocket Mortgage. Quicken Loans, number one lender in the country for good reason. They are awesome. They are number one in your hearts year after year, number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power, 9 years in a row now. They're also number one in volume, and that happened about a year ago. And that's because I think that for many years they were the best. And eventually, you know, the best gets bigger. And now they've got the Rocket Mortgage solution, which is great for us geeks. Completely online mortgage approval process. They call it the power buying process. Three steps to your perfect home loan. Step one, you answer. You go online. You go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. You could even do this on a phone. It's very simple. Just a few simple questions. They'll check your credit. They'll give you the loans for which you qualify. You choose the rate, the term, the down payment, and then they give you pre-qualified approval. That's all, in general, in under 10 minutes. I mean, it's fast. Step two, once that process is completed, a loan officer will then verify income, assets, and credit. And they'll do that without your help in most cases. And within 24 hours, you will get verified approval, which means you're basically a cash buyer. You're good for it. You even get a letter you could show your realtor or the seller and says, yep, they got the loan. That's pretty awesome. And once you have verified approval, you get something I think that's very timely. Now that interest rates are creeping up, you get their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They lock your rate up for up to 90 days while you shop. No anxiety, no worries. Rates will not go up. Well, the rates will go up. Your rate won't. It's locked. If the rates go down, your rate goes down, but you can't go up. So either way, you win. That's exactly the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's best mortgage lender. Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. You get started right now at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. You know it, and I know it. It's the best. rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And we thank Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage for making the Tech Guy podcast possible. All right, Scotty.
Hey, Scotty.
Oh, yours, my friend.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be here. Dick Mead was asking about a recommendation for a UHD 4K TV for around $1,200, 55-inch, which gives more options, absolutely. I was looking at the Vizios, the P-Series. I would say, let's see, the Vizio P-Series, the P55, $800. That looks like they have a couple of different models. That's kind of weird. So the P55, but then there's another P55 with XLED Pro for $999 for $1,000. You can't get a PC, the PQ series is only 65 inch. That's too large. I was going to look at the Sony X900 would be another good one to look at. Sony X900F, the letter in that case is has to do with the model year. And let's see, five models and prices on the Sony. Come on now, Kim. There we go. 55 inches, $1,300. And that would also be an excellent, excellent choice. That's also, like I was talking about earlier, the Sony X900 and the Vizio P-Series have this FALD, full array local dimming backlighting, which is far better than edge lighting, which Samsung uses on almost everything except their super high-end QLED series. So then the question, if you're going to look at those two TVs, I mean, you could get a TCL 6 series for less than that, for much less, I'm sure, for a 55. That's a Roku TV. The Sony X900F is an Android TV, and the Vizio uses Vizio's own apps. And so then it becomes a question of which smart interface do you prefer, if you're even going to use it. I don't typically use the smart interface on my Sony OLED because I use an external streamer. But if you use the TV, this internal streaming for the TV, then that might become important. And which interface do you prefer? I prefer Roku myself. Let's see. Lumpy says, have him wait 3 months and OLED will be $1,200. Well, I don't think, not in 3 months, maybe in 3 years. Hey, Tech William, good to see you. UJ, exactly. The TCL 55R617, 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Roku Smart LED TV 2018 model. Let's see if I can find the price on that. Somebody in the chat room will probably find it faster than me. But let's just take a quick look here. What is the pricing on a TCL 55R617? We are talking about like $630 at Walmart, Amazon. Beach camera. I'm just looking at, online here. Amazon has it for, let me look up the Amazon page. That is, yeah, $630. So, man, for half of your budget, you can get a pretty good TV, this TCL, which is also FALD, FALD. Now, it probably doesn't have as many zones as either the Sony or the Vizio. And the more zones, the better, really, in terms of picture quality. But that would be a worthwhile option. Yeah, Tech William, been a long time. Thank you, UJ, for sending that link. Anyway, that's what I recommend, Dick. Yeah, fast first hour, Tech Dino. No question about that. Beer's on me. Is there any way to change the sampling rate of the Fire TV from 48 kilohertz to 44.1 kilohertz? You wrote hertz, but it's really kilohertz. You know, I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of experience with the Fire TV. In most cases, you do have that control. You can go into the menu system, and under audio, you can specify whether the audio sampling rate is 44.1 or 48. In many cases, you can set it to whatever the native rate is of the file you're trying to play, which is what I normally do. I normally let it just float. And same with resolution, with picture resolution. I just say, whatever I'm showing, show it in its native form. Don't upscale it. Don't do anything weird to it. Just show it as it is. So, and Twisted Mister says, yes, turn off soap opera on TV. Turn off frame interpolation or motion smoothing. It comes by all kinds of different names. Talking back to that guy who had the stuttering problem. I don't think that problem was due to, well, no, it's a new TV. So I doubt that that his problem was due to that. So, hey, John in Florida, good link here. Ardings.com is a great TV review resource, no question. And here he has included a link to Arting's comparison of the Sony X900F to the Vizio P series. So let's see here, which is which. The Sony P. Okay, so here's the X900. They gave the Sony P, Vizio P series a slightly higher score in most categories, if not all categories, it looks like. Yeah, yeah. They gave the Vizio higher marks than the Sony. Not very much, but, you know, a little bit. So I'm not terribly surprised at that. Sony's not bad, don't get me wrong. But the Vizio is a heck of a deal. Let's see here. Oh, PDO got his TCL 65-inch replacement. Works great so far. Good. JPI, what is my favorite Atmos speaker setup? I will tell you this. In the proper room, I don't think it matters whether the Atmos speakers fire up and reflect down or are actually overhead. I used to think that having actual overhead speakers was always going to be better, but I've heard some demos of up-firing Atmos speakers that were remarkable. So Depending if you have the right ceiling. If you don't have the right kind of ceiling, if you have acoustic tiles up there, or it's pitched, you know, it's like a cathedral ceiling, or even popcorn ceiling, it's not going to work as well. In which case, then actual in-ceiling Atmos speakers would be better. So that's how I feel about that. Yes, shortwave on the Sony, motion smoothing is called motion flow. Turned that off pretty quickly. Hated the soap opera effect. You and Tom Cruise. I spoke about that last week. Tom Cruise is making it his personal campaign to have everybody turn that off.
Thank you, Scott.
My pleasure.
Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and, you know, home theater, digital photography. We talk about smartphones. We talk about smartwatches. Anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Skype out if you're not in those areas. Still should be free. Line 4, Don, Santa Barbara. Hello, Don.
Hey,
welcome. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, good. I'm had a mouthful of cereal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Chew and swallow. I don't want to cause any...
No, I'm going to spit it out.
Oh, gosh. Oh, the Captain Crunch, his heart is breaking.
It's all in the backyard now, but who cares?
Okay, it's good for the birds.
Here's my problem.
Yes.
Very simple problem. I have a hearing problem, so I like to watch TV with earphones.
Yes.
My wife doesn't have a hearing problem. She prefers the speakers.
Yes.
My old TV had a couple of audio output RCA connectors. It's simple. I fed those into my C-Crane transmitter, and off I go. I can't do that anymore with all the new TVs. Which I got a new one, and it has an audio, digital audio output. It has an earphone jack. I only tried the earphone jack, and it shuts off the speakers because it assumes I'm using these late at night when I don't want to disturb anybody else. But now, so now I'm not using anything. I'm having to resort to just watching the closed caption.
Yeah.
But so my question is, and when you use the digital audio output, does that automatically turn off the speakers in the TV as well?
It just depends on the TV. It shouldn't.
Mm.
So if you have dual audio outputs, that's the easiest way to do this. The ideal would be one analog and one digital. The digital one could go to a sound bar or your stereo.
I don't have.
What does your wife listen to? The TV speakers?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And as soon as you connect your headphones, the TV speakers cut out, right?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, if there is audio out, you could get a separate set of speakers like a sound bar. And as we were talking about last hour, you know, Vizio makes $100 sound bars that you plug into the optical out of the TV. That should not cut out when you're using the headphones.
Okay, that was my question. I haven't tried that yet. Is that audio, digital audio output always on, do you know? Or does it, if it's plugged into something like a sound bar, does that automatically turn off the speakers? Because if you have a sound bar, you don't want the speakers on your TV. You've got the sound bar to use.
Yes, it disconnects the speakers. You can actually go, what you do is you go in the menu setting and you tell the TV, where do you want the audio to go?
Yeah,
now, I have to say, sometimes it really does depend on the TV. Sometimes you can't get this all working. You know, that the TV says, oh, if you're going to use external speakers, clearly you don't want the headphones. We've had somebody call with that situation. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you might, for instance, on Sony TVs, when you go to the AV setup, you have the choice of headphone or audio out. So that's one way to kind of see if this will work is to look in the menu and see if it's like an either or situation. But if it doesn't, you know, say, oh, you can either use headphones or an external speaker, generally speaking, you'll have both. You can turn the speaker down when your wife's not around. Just as you don't have to use the headphones when, you know, you're not around. I'm just trying to think of what else. You know, other option would be to take the headphone audio out and split it. You know, that's just a simple analog splitter. One goes to a set of speakers and one goes to your headphones. And that's easy to do, too.
Yeah. It's all doable. But I think to myself, isn't there not a whole cadre of people with hearing problems.
Oh, yeah, this is
some easy solution to this.
Well, I think those are easy.
Well, but the solution is if you want the earphones, you use those in lieu of your speaker so you don't disturb anybody else if you're watching TV late at night.
And that's the default setup. But now that would actually, let me think. Here's a way you could do it, but it would require disassembling the TV.
Okay.
The TV, most TVs in my experience, their speaker is really just a box hanging off the bottom of the TV connected by two wires. If you can look inside the box, at the, go into the back of the TV, kind of look and see, you might really be able to just disconnect the speakers and connect them to a set of normal speakers, better sounding speakers, but you're going to have the same issue, right? Which is that it's going to be one or the other. That's why the optical is a good solution. I mean, the optical or a splitter would do it too. And you know, if you got a little amplifier that took the headphones in, it's just a headphone amp. One went to headphones, one went to speakers. They'll have switches that say, you know, just the speakers, just the headphones, or both. That would probably be simple. I would send you to Radio Shack, but alas, there is no Radio Shack any longer.
And there is no help at Best Buy. There is no help.
No.
These guys haven't got a clue. And you think, well, there must be millions of us out here in the world with hearing problems where our mates don't have the hearing problem and don't want to listen.
Everybody,
to phones.
Including me, everybody I know. So, so what brand of TV do you have?
I got this from our son. It's an LG.
LG, okay.
Before that, I bought a Samsung at Costco.
Well, the only reason I ask is this will determine what capabilities there are. One of our chatters, Lumpy, says his Vizio will do exactly what you want to do, which is the TV speakers and the digital audio output. So at the same time, so he can use the headphones and a soundbar. It's my guess that the LG will do that as well. I just can't guarantee it because I don't know. But well, I have an LG at home I could try, but I'll have to get back to you tomorrow.
That's okay. You know what? I'm just gonna continue to spend the rest of my life watching the closed captions.
Suffering in silence, literally. Literally. Hey, I turn on the closed captions for almost everything. If it's an English comedy, I turn on the closed captions. If it's Scottish, I absolutely turn. But go to monoprice.com. You can get a little simple, you know, headphone amplifier or AV switcher that allow you to put the audio from the TV into that, either via the headphone jack for an analog input or the digital output of the TV into that, and then it'll split it, and you can have both things going at once.
I got it.
By the way, Redwood in the chat room, I was hoping once we knew the brand that this would happen. Redwood in the chat room says, my LG OLED does both together. That's what I have at home, too. So you can use both together. I would guess that this is, as you say, an increasingly common situation as we baby boomers hit the hard of hearing stage, and that most TV manufacturers would be kind of aware of this. Sounds like a lot yeah, Scottish, where captions don't even help. It's great. and I know all of our Scottish listeners hate it when I do my phony Scott accent. but I know it's bad. I know it's bad. You don't have to write me. Thank you. I've got plenty of emails. I think this is going to be something pretty straightforward. Any recent TV, the key is you need two audio outputs, ideally an analog out for the headphones. There are headphones that will take digital out, but analog out for the headphones, because then you can use anything. I gave my mom a pair of wireless Sennheisers. She loves those. They plug into the headphone jack. She has the same problem. And then I gave her a soundbar, a Vizio soundbar, that plugs into the optical jack. And then she can do either or both. So it's either and or and. It's a logic problem. 8888 Ask Leo, if you've got a solution too, you know, you can always call or visit us in our chat room. We have a live chat room. I refer to it a lot because they're always there to help me out. That's irc.twit.tv. You can go there with a browser, but if you're an old-timer, you'll remember the IRC, the Internet Relay Chat Protocol, and you can use an IRC client. I use on the Mac, I use Textual. On Windows, I use XChat, and those are great because you can just hang out with the people who are watching and listening to the show at the same time. irc.twit.tv. Website is techguylabs.com, and that's where you can also leave a comment. We charge nothing to visit the site. We do ask you to use a Google or Twitter account when you leave a comment just to keep the spammers out. Somebody in the chat room has discovered a Maverick 56, and we'll put this link as a YouTube video. We'll put this link in the show notes. It shows that LG has an option. LG TVs have an option for speakers and headphones at the same time, so you don't have to do anything. This is the simple answer under Sound Out. So go to your LG TV menu, Sound Out. Good luck finding that. These are the worst, aren't they, these menus? And the last option is, quote, internal TV speakers plus headphones. Aha! Aha! 8888 Ask Leo. Chat room to the rescue, as often is the case. Somebody in the chat room saying, have you received your Super 73 S1 bicycle yet? I ordered an e-bike from Lithium Cycles in August or maybe July. They said then 4 months. So I wasn't, you know, too worried when it took 4 months. Apparently, they were sort of a casualty of the China-U.S. trade war because China, or was it the U.S.? I think it's the U.S. This is the problem with trade wars. We don't know who's at fault here. The U.S. is charging a 25% tariff on e-bike motors. And, of course, almost all e-bike motors, electric bike motors, are made in China. These Super 73 were using an e-bike motor from China, and they got their shipment, and there was an additional tariff of $300,000 on it. They couldn't afford that, so the bikes were delayed because they moved manufacturing out of the U.S. to a country that didn't charge that tariff so they could make the bike. I guess you can import the bike without the tariff. I don't know. I guess once it's in a bike, maybe I don't understand it, but somehow they were able to evade the $300,000 tariff by manufacturing the bike offshore. And I did, in fact, get mine this week. It's really cool. It is not a bicycle. The seat is so low on it that when you pedal, your knees are up around your ears. It's clear that the pedals are there to merely make it street legal, that you are not expected to pedal it. It is an electric motorbike. And it is awesome. I mean, it really does look like a motorbike, like an old-fashioned motorbike. They put the where they put the battery looks like a gas tank. It's got a big old headlamp. But the seat's not adjustable, and it's very low. So you really kind of, if you've seen any of the YouTube videos. But it is fun. It's a lot of fun. 8888, yes, I did get mine to answer the question. I think I put a picture of it on my blog, being assembled by my wonderful team here in the studio. They love stuff like that. John, St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I got an issue. Are you familiar with that Hoopla app where you can get movies from the library?
Yeah, isn't that a cool idea? From the public library for free.
It would be good if it worked well.
Well, isn't that always the problem?
The problem is, half the time when I go on the app, the little Chromecast icon that you need to cast to my TV does not show up.
Aye.
Now, when it does show up and I cast to the TV, the TV says, Hoopla, ready to cast. You push the button, and all I get is a small X on the screen, and it goes back to the iPad. It's like, it shuts itself off.
So Hoopla is, the idea is libraries, which have, of course, for years lent you books, physical books, are kind of struggling in this digital era. So there are a number of solutions that allow people to borrow books, movies, music from the library with your library card for free. In order for these to work, though, they all have copy protection, kind of, frankly, awful copy protection built in, because just like a, even though this makes no sense, just like a book from the library, you have to return your Hoopla digital content within whatever the rules are, usually 2 weeks. You know, so they have to build this into their player. It's kind of a funky thing anyway. And it doesn't make a lot of sense because it's a digital, you can have an infinite number of digital copies. But remember, the rights holders, the movie companies, the book publishers, they are just, you know, freaking out over digital distribution. So this is really kind of an interim technology. Now, here's the other problem, which is the Chromecast sometimes doesn't work. My guess is there's some handshaking going on between the Chromecast on your TV and your device, your phone or tablet, where Hoopla is running. That Hoopla is saying, oh, I'm not going to let you play it for copy protection reasons, but that's only a guess. Hoopla does make an Apple TV app. There's a Fire TV app. There's a Roku app. So if you had one of those devices, I would do that instead.
I've got a Chromebook, and it does the same thing with the Chromebook.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that it is not a Chromecast issue. It could be. Sometimes you have issues with Chromecast, but more a copy protection over Chromecast issue. I'm looking at their website. They advertise that you can use a Chromecast device.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it doesn't work too well.
On the iPad if I want to watch it on that.
Yeah. Yeah, because they can verify that that's legit. So remember, the way the Chromecast works is a little strange. You're only handshaking with a Chromecast from your iPad when you press that icon, and then it sees it and then it goes on. But then the Chromecast takes over, becomes the device. It's the one connecting to the Wi-Fi, streaming it. And so the Chromecast has to say, yeah, no, I'm legit. This is a legit copy. When you put it on your iPad, you had to jump through some hoops. You had to sign in your Hoopla account and all that stuff. It sounds like
automatically.
Yeah, but it sounds like the handshaking, I don't know, it's not working too well. It works on Android and iOS. It works on Amazon, they claim. Anybody who has some experience with Hoopla maybe can have some suggestions. This Chromecast compatibility is probably a hard thing to do. It's been in theirs for 2 years. Let's see. I'm just looking at their
Every other app that I use a Chromecast, like Netflix and all that works fine.
You're not having any trouble with those. Okay, that's good.
No, not at all.
So that really does narrow it down to the Hoopla, I'm sorry to say.
They aren't much help. I've tried.
No, of course not.
They make sure you're on the same Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, but if it's working, like if you're on the same iPad and you can go to Netflix and it works, and then you go to the Hoopla app and it doesn't work, you are on the same network. You're set up properly. Your Chromecast is set up properly. Netflix even has copy protection built into it. So it's all working. It sounds like the Hoopla implementation isn't great. I don't know how to fix that because it's really Hoopla's got to fix it. Yeah. Have you searched around for, just Google Hoopla Chromecast?
Yeah, I've done all that.
People having similar issues?
I don't remember if there were any, tell you.
Yeah. It almost certainly, to me, has something to do with this license thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as janky as the whole thing is, it's great because you can now get ebooks and audiobooks too, and which I love, and movies from the library free using these apps. Hoopla is not the only one. There are several of these that allow you to do it. It just sounds like their Chromecast implementation is not great, and I don't know how to fix that. Make sure you have an up-to-date Chromecast. Maybe you need a more recent one. I don't know. It sounds like it's working fine with everything else, though. That's the puzzlement. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. The record skipped. Big Pee Wee, I didn't know you had records. That's awesome. 88. I just see him. I see Damien, our musical director there. He's got the big platters. They're spinning with the little gears, and he holds. Are you old enough, Big Pee Wee, to remember that, where you'd hold the record and you'd turn it back a quarter of a turn and you'd let it fly? You probably don't remember any of that. Do you even remember cart machines? You remember that? Anything like that?
Eight tracks.
Good. Close enough. 8888. Ask Leo. In the land of ancient technology, I am a big fan of these electric bikes we were talking about earlier. This Super 73 from Lithium Cycles is not an electric bike. this is a electric motorcycle with vestigial pedals designed to fool the police into thinking you're riding a bike. Now, the good news is that to be an electric bike in the United States, you can't go faster. The throttle can't go higher than 20 miles an hour. The bad news is I think these are easily hacked. I think maybe trivially easily hacked. I don't know. I'm not going to do it because I don't feel safe riding that thing any faster than 20 miles an hour. 20's plenty. Pretty cool little doohickey. I'll post a picture of me riding around on my electric bicycle. Bob in Tujunga, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Bob.
Howdy do.
Howdy doody.
Yeah, no, no, no.
No, that's something else.
None of that stuff. I'm sorry.
Are you Buffalo Bob? If you are, then it's appropriate.
No, 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 no.
All right.
It's summer, fall, winter, spring either.
Oh, you do remember, don't you?
Oh, good heavens, yes.
Oh, yes. We are of a certain age. The younger people in the crowd are going, huh? I just realized that anybody under 30 literally does not remember a time before cell phones and the internet. They just...
Yeah, it's kind of a sick thing.
It's just a different world, that's all. It's a different world they grew up in and we're living in, and...
They had this survey where the most popular Christmas movie is Gremlins.
What? That's not even a Christmas movie.
No.
It's A Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart. Zuzu's Petals. That's a Christmas movie.
Miracle on 34th Street.
That's a Christmas movie.
Or even Die Hard.
Okay. It's kind of a holiday movie. there are whole people. Do you remember ever walking into a bank? There's whole generation that's never gone inside a bank.
Yeah, and then trying to pick the right line.
Oh, the line. That's right. Which one's going to move? Which teller looks faster?
Yeah.
What can I do for you, Bob?
Well, you've got a mother in her 80s.
I do.
I've got a mother who's 96.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'd congratulate you, but I doubt you had anything to do with it.
No, I really didn't. It's stubbornness on her part.
Good for her. And how's she doing? She feeling all right?
Yeah, she's all right, but she can't write with a pen worth a darn.
No, but neither can I, so. And ask a 30-year-old to write with a pen, they'll say, what's a pen? Oh, you mean a stylus? You don't write with that.
That's right.
So, is that her?
No.
Oh,
that's your wife.
My obnoxious daughter.
Oh, your daughter. Okay. How old is your daughter?
She's in her 30s.
Can you write with a pen?
Damn straight.
They learn cursive.
Watch it. You're on the radio.
They learn cursive. That's right. But, you know, kids today, I don't think they do. I don't think they learn how to do any of that stuff. And if they do, they'd probably be right to say, why am I learning this? You know, what am I going to ever do with this?
Yeah, actually, my granddaughter's teacher told her to learn how to print and not do any cursing.
Yeah, print's probably is something you need. You got to write, I'm sure, something. I don't know what. Nobody writes checks anymore. So what can I do to help you with your mom?
Well, she wants to write letters. Oh. But,
can she type?
She isn't worried about doing internet or anything.
Good.
She just needs to do WordPress processing.
Yeah. Can she type? She could type okay?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. She can type up a storm.
Nice.
She has an Epson XP440 printer.
Well, she's practically there. All she needs is something to write those with.
That's what I'm calling
about. So you can totally use that printer with a Chromebook. You don't need to get a big, elaborate, expensive computer for just writing. She might even want to use the internet a little bit. The nice thing about a Chromebook, she doesn't have to worry about viruses or anything. Tell me the name of the printer again. I just want to make sure it'll work with a Chromebook. The Epson?
XP440.
Almost all modern printers will work with Chromebooks. This will work with a Chromebook. So you want cloud print capability, and this has it. And so that means you can either print to the Epson cloud directly or print directly to the printer. Either way, you'll see right on the page it says Google Cloud Print Support. Any modern printer will do that. The reason I recommend a Chromebook is because they come with keyboards.
Yeah,
they're laptops.
She needs a keyboard.
They're basically laptops for under, $500, depending on what you get. I would look at, it's a very, because as you get older, screen size is important, right? Can she, do you think, she, how's her vision? Could she use a 15-inch screen all right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Asus makes a inexpensive 15-inch Chromebook. It's big. It's actually really not even very portable, but it's got a big screen, and having that big screen will make it easier for her to read. It'll also mean a bigger keyboard, and it is, I think it's a couple of hundred, 300, maybe $300. And wow. And that way she won't get into trouble. She doesn't need anything fancier. I think it's a great choice. Best Buy has them for $199.
Wow.
And she's already got the printer, so she can. Now, what she'll do is she'll be using Google Docs to write. Now, the other advantage of that is they're automatically saved to the cloud. So even if she forgets to save they'll all be saved in there. She doesn't have to worry about a file system or anything. It's just automatic.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she's going to like it. Yeah. Take her to the Best Buy or bring a, the nice thing about most of these stores, Best Buy for sure, but any big box stores, they'll give you a good return, easy return rules.
Policies.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
So I think this is probably a very good choice for an older person. My mom loves her iPad, but those are much more pricey. And really, she wants it. The reason I got it for her, she's an artist. She loves to draw. So I got her the iPad and the pencil. But that doesn't sound like something that would be particularly useful to your mom. But if she wants to write letters, that's awesome. Before long, she'll be sending them as email, but she can print them out, too, if she wants.
No, we're not sure about the email.
Yeah. The internet gets to her bedroom.
Ah, I see. Yes. So that is kind of an issue because these Chromebooks do want to be online. They can work offline, but she'll have to go out of the bedroom to send them. Does that make sense? This is an online only device. So let me think. I mean, truthfully, I see what you want to do. Have the printer there next to her. She can print them out and then somebody can mail them for her. Let me think about this and I'll get back to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, so I get it now. I'm glad you added that. So your idea is that she's not online. She's sitting in bed. She's writing these.
She has her own little office.
Okay. And is the internet better in the office?
No. The internet's across the house at the aunt, at my aunt's side of the house.
Oh, I see. And she doesn't want to do anything to get it to your mom, your grandma's side of the house.
If the Chromebook, does it let you, does it have a connect, like a USB drive so that we can connect it directly to the printer?
No.
No,
it doesn't print that way. So it prints over the internet. So it will print directly to the printer, but over the internet.
Mm.
So if you don't have that printer on the internet, it can go on the internet, but if you don't have it on the internet, you're going to want to get something a little different. Yeah. You're going to need to get, let me think about this. You're going to need to get something that's more like a real computer. The problem with that is it's much more complicated for her to use and so forth. What could she use that would be? Basically, what you really want is a word processor, not even a computer, right? You don't care about the internet. You want a word processor.
Right.
Yeah. That'll directly connect to the printer. She can write it and print it.
Yeah.
I bet you there's still people making kind of purpose-built stuff like that. You might look at this is not a good idea, but you might look at this. There was a thing called the Alpha Smart that was just a keyboard with a little screen. Actually, the new one, the Neo 2 Alpha Smart. It's a word processor. And the idea is it's really that's all it does. It's not a computer. It's a word processor. There are a couple of companies still making kind of standalone. There's a thing called the FreeWrite. Same idea. These are kind of more specialty products. They're not expensive. That's the good news. Get If you go to GetFreeWrite, WRITE.com, take a look at that.
Okay.
It is really just a word processor.
And it has a small screen so that you can see all the mistakes she's making.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a huge screen, it's a small screen. But the idea, it's an e-ink display, so it's easy to read. It's very crisp. And then I think it will print directly to your printer, yeah.
Okay.
That's what you need. You don't want a computer, really. You just want a word processor.
Yeah, that's it.
How about a typewriter?
Seriously. I've got one of those.
Seriously, how about a typewriter?
I've got an old...
She might like that.
Those stick more than she does.
She you can get a used Selectric cheap.
Oh, she was one of the first users of a Selectric.
Yeah, she might really enjoy that. But anyway, Free Write is $350. It's at FreeWrite, FreeWrite.com. That's kind of more, I think that's more up her alley. I've never played with one of these. I've known about them for a while. This is for the pre-digital era. You could do it on a Chromebook. Captain J's right, and use an SD card in the Chromebook. Save it's too many steps to save it to the SD card. Bring the SD card to the printer. Put it in the printer. Print that way. That's a lot of work. I think you should get her a Selectric. Man, I would love a Selectric. David Hasselhoff. Please come home. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Musical director, Big Pee Wee, really earning his keep this week. I'm going to mention something. Once I got the whole story from our last caller, it turns out Bob's mom, who's 95, wants to write letters. She doesn't want a computer. She doesn't even have internet in her bedroom. What she really wants is a typewriter. But since they already have a printer, wouldn't they be, Bob wonders, some way? Yeah, it's called a word processor. Remember those days? You remember the Wang? You have to be of a certain age to remember these. But this was, they brought them into offices. Law firms are the first to use them because they print a lot of the same thing over and over again. They were word processors. So there are still word processors out there. There's a company called FreeWrite. They call them modern tools for modern writers, but they're not. They're word processors. They're a big, nice keyboard with kind of a smallish, but it's an e-ink screen. So it looks like you're writing on paper. And the idea is writers are often distracted by having a full computer. I know one writer who was fairly prolific who the first thing he did was he'd take Solitaire and all the games off of his computer because he'd find himself, you know, Minesweeper. He'd find himself... Oh, I'll write that chapter. Just one more game of Minesweeper. So for people like that with absolutely no discipline, too tempted by Candy Crush to use a computer, this is a perfect idea. GetFreeWrite.com. Kind of clunky looking, but it's, you know, it's bigger than a laptop, but smaller than a Selectric. And it's $350, and it actually looks, it's kind of interesting. It's very simple. I think this actually would be perfect for mom. So I take it back. I'm looking at the new one. It's $549. I think the original one was $349. But in any event, take a look at it. It's an interesting idea. It has a handle. And it doesn't have Minesweeper. It's an interesting problem. See, the big problem is that mom doesn't have easy access to the internet in her bedroom. So... we got to figure out some way of getting, you know, a Chromebook without internet is really not that. You can use it. I mean, they have offline, but you got to get online eventually, even if you just want to print. Clarence, Chesapeake, Virginia is next. Hi, Clarence. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. I'm chasing down a ghost.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I've got a Wi-Fi. In fact, I bought a new Netgear, and I changed out the... router from Airs, a router that I got from Cox Cable. I've gone through the electrical outlet, made sure the screws were tight to the plug. Power strip, I got a new one of those to make sure that was not. But my Wi-Fi for unknown reason, it will just freeze up. It will quit.
All right. So what we got to do is track this all down. And you've done a lot of swapping of parts, which is often what happens. So remember, in order to get internet on that laptop, it's a chain of things. You've got to have, you know, internet service provider has to be working. You attached a cable modem from Aeris, which is a very good brand, to that cable to turn that into data. That has to be working properly. It then has to connect to your Netgear router. That has to be working properly. And then your computer has to have its Wi-Fi router, Wi-Fi radio has to be working properly. It can't be dropping out. And frankly, the loss of internet access, kind of intermittent, periodic, can happen at any one of those points. And this is the problem. It's intermittent. That's the word that computer techs don't want to ever hear. Because if you can't make it happen, it's very hard to figure out what's causing it. If you can't say, well, if I press this button and do this thing and then that happens and then it'll happen, then it's easy to figure it out why it's happening. So a couple of things you would look at. I'm sure you've already called the ISP, the Internet Service Provider, and said, your internet's not coming and going, is it? No. You should also look at that Aeris cable modem. It has lights on it. And if you look at the manual for it, you'll see that there is an up light, a down light, a link light. Those lights will tell you a little bit about what's going on. If the lights are operating properly, if they're green in all cases, and when you're connected to your Netgear router, it blinks, then it's probably working. It wouldn't be a bad idea to eliminate Wi-Fi entirely, connect your laptop to the Netgear via an Ethernet cable, and see if it does the same thing. If it's continuing to drop out, that eliminates a lot of things. If it does drop out, you know, if it doesn't drop out, it eliminates a lot of things. That will really narrow it down. So if you connect it physically and you're not having any problems, then we know that the internet's fine, the cable modem's fine, the Netgear's probably fine. It's probably something to do with the Wi-Fi radio in that laptop. On the other hand, if it continues to happen, then it's probably not the laptop, because the Ethernet connector is a different part than the Wi-Fi connector. If it doesn't happen, then it probably does go back to either the Netgear, the Aeris, or the internet provider. The Netgear should have logs. Most modern Netgears are pretty good about, but you might have to dig through the documentation to find it. That'll tell you what's going, maybe something a little bit more about what's going on. For instance, if it's losing connectivity to the internet periodically, it'll say that in its log. And that'll tell you something. That'll mean that either the Aeris or the internet service provider is at fault. If its internet connectivity is constant, but its Wi-Fi is not working, you might even see that in the log as well. This is one of those, unfortunately, challenging intermittent problems that you just have to kind of slowly eliminate all the possibilities. Since everything's new, the Aeris, the Netgear, I would probably look at the computer itself. Another way to try this, see if it happens with any other computer. You know, get a friend to come by. See if his Wi-Fi drops out. There are, for instance, there's little weird things that can go on a Windows machine. You can have power saving mode turned on the Wi-Fi radio, which means it will power down periodically. You don't want that. That you can see in the device manager for, you know, go in the device manager, look at that Wi-Fi device, make sure that it doesn't have power saving mode turned on. And I can go on and on and on. Could be an intermittent problem with the driver, the software. That's why if you want, I would try to eliminate that laptop. See if it works with other laptops. If you're getting the same problem with a variety of different gear, okay, now we can eliminate the laptop as a cause. You see what I'm saying? The whole way this works is you're trying to narrow it down by troubleshooting till you figure out what's causing the problem. It sounds, I mean, I almost always would, in a case like that, would suspect it's the laptop. It's the hardware, the computer itself. Since these other devices are much simpler and really much less likely to have that kind of intermittent dropout. Could also be, remember, Wi-Fi is a radio technology and things could be interfering. Your neighbor could be interfering. That's why one of the very first things you do is you try it wired. If it works fine wired, then you got to look at the radio as well. What's going on? Is there interference coming in through the radio, through someone else? I can't give you much more help than that unless I come over to your house. And while I'd much like to, Chesapeake's a little distant for me. So, but there's some areas to look. And that, and really, that, more than an areas to look, it's a way of thinking about it that's very, I find very helpful. Think it through in your mind. What's the process? What's the handoff? How does this all work? All the components involved, and then one by one, check them and eliminate them. And the first thing absolutely to try is a wired connection. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's take a break. More of your calls right after this. You need a credit card in business, don't you? In fact, we use credit cards with our employees. It's for us the easiest way for employees to, you know, buy the things they need. You could set limits on the credit card, that kind of thing. It's just a really convenient way to manage money and expenditures in a business. But if you're going to do that, can I say don't go to the bank to do it? Go to Brex. Brex is the first corporate credit card designed particularly for small businesses, for startups. With it, it's simple. We set it up in 5 minutes online. The underwriting is based on cash flow, the cash in your bank account, not on you, your personal liability. There's no personal liability. And Brex can offer your company 10 to 20 times higher limits than other corporate credit cards. Plus, they get great rewards. The points are actually, it's tailored towards a modern business. So we get 7 times points on ride shares, you know, Uber, Lyft, that kind of thing. 3 times on restaurants and travel. They triple points. Double points on software. And there's no limit to how many points you can earn. And best of all, and I really like this, points can be redeemed for statement credit on transactions. It's like cash in your pocket. This is such a good deal for anybody who's in business. Exclusive offers with some of the best technology brands and services you probably already use, like AWS, Google, Salesforce, WeWork. Brex is underwriting your company, not you. And for an entrepreneur, a small business person like me, and if you're a small business person, you'll understand completely what that means and why that's a good thing. There's no minimum operating history. It's great for startups. No painful paper application. And I really appreciate this. No personal liability required. Brex uses the cash raised by your business to extend credit, does not require a credit score, a social security number, even a security deposit. Nope. It's a Visa card. It's a real card. And I loved this. First time I used it, I've told this story before. It was so awesome. Now I'm used to it. But the first time it blew me away, we had business dinner, went out, charged it, got a text from Brex, said, you know, instantly said, did you just bought dinner, right? Take a picture of the receipt. I was saying, all right. I took a picture of their seat, responded to the text message with the picture. It said, oh, I've matched it to this transaction, and it's in your QuickBooks. Boom, like that. With all the details. I don't have to save the receipt. Crumple it up, throw it away. I love that. It works with all the major accounting programs. We use QuickBooks, but it works with them all. Complete statement descriptions clearly tell you what you've spent on. Look, this is so awesome. Join the thousands of startups and tech companies, including us, who use Brex to manage their growing business needs and earn valuable rewards while doing so. Get your card free. And because you're listening to this show, you're a Twit listener, fees are waived in perpetuity forever. Go to brex.com/twit, brex.com/twit. Brex card fees waived in perpetuity, but you have to go to brex.com/twit. We thank Brex so much for making a better business card and supporting the podcast. That too. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Yeah, it's time once again to talk computers and the internet and home theater, digital photography. We got your smartphones. We got your smart watches. We got your e-bikes and your self-driving cars. We got anything with a chip in it. We even have genetic modifications via CRISPR. Yes, we're talking about it all. The modern world. That's what this show is about. The modern world. 8888-ASK-LEO is my phone number if you want to talk about high tech. 888-827-5536. We help with the troubleshooting as much as I can, given that I can't exactly reach out through the radio and heal. But I do my best. I do my best. Line 4, Steve in Palos Verdes, California. Hello, Steve.
Leo, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Great, thanks. Enjoying the show so far today. I, too, like the previous caller, I've got my mother's
going to be 94 next week.
Oh, that's so great. I feel like people are living longer and healthier than ever. That's so great.
And it's wonderful. And for the last couple of years, I've had her set up with like a Samsung some tablet with a Skype, or I've tried an iPad with a Skype. But even hitting home buttons, swiping screens, finding the right icon, it still really throws her for a loop. And I'm just wondering, is there a simple, easy, real plug-and-play kind of, here, use this.
I love video calling. You want to do video calling, I presume, right? Not just audio, but video.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm in Palos Verdes. She's up in San Diego Valley. I've got brothers in Vegas. I've got a brother in China that she talks to on Skype.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Especially,
you know, my mom, you know, I've told this story before. I was making Thanksgiving dinner. I was making pasta, and my mom sat with me for 3 hours, helped me, because she's the one who taught me how to make it in the first place. And she's on FaceTime on an iPad, and it was just awesome. So there are easier ways, and I'll tell you a couple of the easier ways now. Strike me down for saying it, but Facebook actually has a really good solution. If everybody's using Facebook and can use Facebook Messenger, Facebook's portal is actually really great.
Okay.
It's a dedicated video device. There are two sizes. I got the 15-inch big size, so it's like a 15-inch laptop screen, and it rotates. So it can, and by the way, another reason to get this for her is it can be a digital picture screen, a beautiful digital picture screen when she's not making calls. And then it's very easy.
It's its own standalone device called the Facebook Portal?
Yep, standalone device, Facebook Portal.
Awesome.
So that's one. And I got two. You don't need two, because anybody who can use Messenger, and so your brother in China, obviously I don't know if he can even use Facebook Messenger in China, but maybe he's got a way around it. Anybody who can use Messenger on a phone can call her. Thing is, it's easy. It says, you know, it's a big button on the screen that says, you know, Steve's calling, and she pushes the button, accept, and there you are.
Oh, yeah. That's
and it puts icons on the screen of all of the people, all of her friends that you choose the list. She just taps your head and makes a call.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
So there is a similar device from Amazon, the Echo Show.
Amazon Echo Show.
That will also do this, but it uses Echo calling. You know, Amazon's Echo technology. And then there's a device from Google. Actually, Lenovo and JBL make similar devices using the Google Assistant. Google's is called the Google Home Hub. It's also a picture frame. It doesn't have a camera in it, though, so that's kind of a negative.
Okay.
But you can make audio calls with it. My favorite is the Facebook portal. If she's on Facebook and you're all on Facebook anyway, keeping track of each other, it's so simple. And you can set it so that it shows her pictures of the grandkids, or, you know, I mean, she'll love it for that reason.
I've got twin 8-year-olds, which are, you know, her life, and you know, so anytime we can talk. But like I said, the biggest challenge is just most of the time when somebody's there, it's easy. But when she's home alone.
Yeah. Of course. But this is as simple. This is, I think that, honestly, this comes from Facebook's Building 8, which is their kind of Skunkworks R&D. And I think it really was designed exactly for this scenario. A parent who's not a geek doesn't have a computer. Because if you have a computer or a phone and you can use it, that's simple. But it's for somebody who doesn't. And by the way, if you get the 15-inch one, which is expensive, I think it's $350. But it is beautiful. It's a big, beautiful display. She will feel like you're right there.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get her that, and then I'll get two of them, and I'll get one just for starters here, and then we'll see how it goes.
I got two of them, but again, you can use your phone and Messenger to place the calls. I think the other thing, though, you may want to get it for, and you'll see this on the portal page, portal.facebook.com. I can't believe I'm recommending this. But anyway, I'm not a fan of Facebook, but on the other hand, when they get it right, they got it right. And I got to give them credit for that. They have a storybook mode that displays on her screen like the Three Little Pigs. She can read it off the screen. It gives her lines. And when the wolf comes on, it puts wolf ears on her and a little wolf nose, and she can do the wolf voice. The 8-year-olds will scream.
gosh.
It does all of those Facebook effects where it makes Granny look like a hipster or, you know, it's really fun. And it's the real reason I recommend it for you. I think it's as simple a video calling as I've ever seen.
Well, and we have family up in the Santa Barbara Galena area, too. We could park one up there. I mean, it just it sounds great. I mean,
I am not a Facebook fan, but I guess I got to give them credit. They did a really – portal.facebook.com. If you're already using Facebook, it's kind of a no-brainer. They do have a smaller one that's less expensive. I think for her, spend a little more and get the big one because it's so easy to see. It's like you're in the house with her.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And you get there's sales. I think if you get two of them, you get $100 off and so forth. So it's not even, you can't use Facebook on it. It's not a computer. It isn't designed to browse Facebook. It's designed to make video calls.
That's what I'm looking for. Yep. Beautiful.
Well, I'm glad I could recommend it. I did buy two of them. I've been trying to return them. Not because there's anything wrong, there isn't, but because I have philosophically kind of Facebook is in the news again for leaking people's photos. I'm not a fan of this company, and yet I got to be a fan of the engineers who made this thing because it is a beautiful piece of hardware. You can disable the camera. It actually comes with a little clip you put over the camera if you want to physically disable it. They are adding games to it, I understand. And I love it. But the interface is what makes it so good. You just big pictures of the people you love the most on the screen. You tap it, and there you are. It really couldn't be easier. It's easier than using a phone, to be honest. Yeah, we were talking about word processing, and I neglected to mention that the inventor of the word processor passed away this week. Not very well known, but thank you, DG Murdoch, in the chat room for reminding me. Evelyn Berezin, not very well known, deserved to be better known. I had never heard her name before, but she died at the age of 93 this week, the designer of the first word processing computer at Redactron Corporation, which sounds like something made up. She studied physics at NYU in the 50s, designed early computing systems in the 60s, became interested in physics after reading her brother's sci-fi magazines. She designed an airline reservation systems for United Airlines and the first word processor, which had as a keyboard and printer an IBM Selectric typewriter. Pretty cool. So we should honor her. Evelyn Berezin passed away this week, the creator of the first word processor. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. I'd love to hear from you if you've got a question, a comment, a suggestion. Help us help people with high tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I do want to ride my bicycle. Or should I say, my electric motorcycle pretending to be a bicycle. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. I got myself a little gimbal camera. You know, the DJI folks are kind of interesting. Are we going to not be able to buy anything that's made in China or made by a Chinese company? Is that the new rule? Because this is a company that they make the drones, right? The best drones, the heavy-duty drones, the DJI Phantom. I've dunked more than a few DJI drones in the drink in my time. I've sworn off drones. They also made a gimbal for your smartphone called the Osmo. Do you remember that? What's a gimbal? It's like a Steadicam, I guess. You put your phone in the gimbal, turn it on, and it's got motors that will keep it steady even as you walk or ride your bicycle or move around. And it's so just like a Steadicam will do. But a Steadicam takes, it's heavy. It takes a whole, you put the whole thing on your body. It's expensive. These are basically Steadicams for normal folks. And they just came out with the Osmo Mini, and I saw it and I had to buy it. Or Pocket, I guess it's called, DJI.com/Osmo-Pocket. It is pocket-sized. It basically, brings back the memories of, remember those old flip cameras? The company went out of business after every phone in existence had a video camera built into it, and people people say, I don't need a standalone camera. But this is a little different because it's got a gimbal on it. So it maintains, you know, as you move around, it kind of maintains the image. And it's tiny. You hold it in your hand. They say it's the smallest three-axis stabilized handheld camera DJI has ever designed. What's interesting about it is it's using the same technology that, you know, started in smartphones, frankly. Apple really kind of launched this with their accelerometers and so forth and tiny processors, and then picked up by companies all over China to do a variety of things. And initially, I think drones, right? Where drones use the miniaturization and the ability to make these processors cheaply and in vast quantities. And then the technology used in drones has been migrated now to gimbals. So I haven't played with it that much, but it's an interesting product. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to mount this to my bicycle and get stabilized video. Honestly, I don't think it'll be a big bestseller because most people have some sort of stabilization built into their smart cameras. That's, after all, what killed the market for standalone video cameras and point-and-shoot cameras. But I don't know. It's kind of fun. It's kind of different. Kind of cool. But now I'm wondering, you know, because of Huawei, right? Are we even allowed to buy electronics from Chinese companies anymore? What do you think on that one? I just don't know what to think. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Line one, it's Mike in Glendale, California. Hello, Mike.
Hey there, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Love the show.
Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
And yeah, I'm calling again, even though I've heard you probably answer this question before. I just can't remember if this means a virus or what.
I don't mind. I'm glad to answer again because these topics are important. So what's going on?
Yeah, this is a topic that comes up, I think, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I try to log into my Gmail account using my, of course, you use your email address to log in, and it's not even recognizing my email address.
So you enter your, you know, mike@gmail.com.
Right.
And your password.
No. It doesn't even allow me to get to
that. Oh, at the very beginning, you're right. When you first log in, it just asks for, and it says, I don't have an account by that name.
Right. It says something like that. I don't have my computer open, but yeah, it says, you know, wrong. Right. Just exactly what you said.
When, if you can you go to google.com or you know, any Google site?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can go, you know, on the internet. I just can't go on my,
Well, here's why I asked that, because it is a known behavior of some viruses to keep you off of search engines in case you're going to search for a fix.
Yeah.
But, and so, yeah, in that case, that kind of behavior could be, you know, related, but it doesn't, but if you can go to google.com and do a search, then that's, it seems unlikely. Okay. And you're sure you got the right address? Like, it's worked for years, right?
It's worked for years, and I double-checked it and looked at it over and over again. I'm like, that is the right number. I didn't miss a thing there.
Okay, the thing to try, of course, is to try it on a different computer.
Okay.
That will give you the confidence. If it doesn't work on a different computer, then you know it's not a virus.
There's a problem, yeah. I'll try
it. And there's something wrong with your account. Yeah.
Yeah. There's two things that might play into it. One is, I do have a second Gmail account that I never use. I thought I was going to use it, and I just never used it. And I tried to remove it once recently, and then that process didn't work.
Uh-oh.
It kept asking questions, and I was like, okay, this is...
Well, I mean, look, it's normal to have multiple Gmail accounts. Okay. I don't know anybody that doesn't have more than two.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. On the other hand, that removal, I hope that removal didn't jinx... in some way, odd way, jinx your other account.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So how could we, you know, there's no one to call at Google.
That's another problem.
What I'm trying to figure out is if, now, your Gmail account is actually a Google account. So why don't you try logging into your Google account at another location? So go to youtube.com and log in there, or go to google.com/dashboard. And try logging in there.
Using my same computer?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ideally, you would do it on another computer as well, just to see. Okay. But if you go to google.com/dashboard, it will say, you want to see and manage the data in your Google account. And it will give you a chance to log in. It won't be the Gmail login. It'll be the Google dashboard login.
Okay.
All right. But so that might be, if there's a problem, for instance, with the Google Gmail on your system, maybe the JavaScript's messed up. That can happen in your browser or whatever. This will fix it. You might also say, if you have another email account or have a friend send you an email to that address. See if he gets back, nobody at this address. If that's the case, then you clobbered your Google account by accident.
You know, now that you bring that up, there are times when I've had email, let's just say conversations going on back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, over a few day or a few week, even a few month period, where I've seemed to lost touch with that person.
Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking, are they just not emailing me?
Well, they might have gotten tired of you. But if they but if they didn't get tired of you.
Always asking questions like this.
No, I'm glad you called. And I haven't had a question like this. And, of course, you've got to see if, you know, if it's just that login there, if it's just that computer. Again, you're trying to narrow it down. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The tech guy. Thanks so much to Damien, our musical director, for spinning the discs today. To our phone angel, Kim Schaffer. Kim's clearly going to a holiday party tonight. You are all dressed up in those red boots. Those are kicking. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. Phone angel, you look like the phone devil tonight.
I hope to be.
Oh, yikes. Thank you, Kim. You're doing a great job today. But I'm going to make you work for a little bit longer. We got a little longer in the show to go. Let's go to line three, Ron in Irvine, California. Hello, Ron.
Oh, hi, Leo. Glad to get through on your line.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm using a Logitech wireless mouse with a Windows 10 desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to lag and hesitate. And I think mainly since the last major update, I'm not sure if that's related to it.
I love my Logitech MX Anywhere. It's my favorite wireless mouse. Of course, I'm sure you've changed the batteries, right?
I changed the batteries. On Google, it said to turn some things off and device setting back on and did all that. Nothing seems to help.
These are optical mice. They use lasers, so they shouldn't lag too much. Although I, as a rule, use a special mouse pad designed for optical mice. I think I feel like they work a little bit better. You know, if you use them on a shiny surface, they won't work well at all. They will lag. They'll be very flaky.
Okay.
So you might try some different surfaces. My favorite mouse pad is, I hope 3M still makes these. They're so great. It's a 3M mouse pad designed, the precise mouse pad. It has adhesive on the back. They sell them on Amazon, $8. It's got a pattern on it. If you can even just look at it to see. It's got a texture, but it also has a pattern on it that enhances optical mice.
Gotcha.
So first thing I'd try is use it on a different surface, even a piece of wood or anything, just to see if it works better.
Yeah, my pad's real shiny, so maybe that's not...
Yeah,
that's
shiny is wrong for optical mice. That may well be it. That may well be it. And I order these by the dozen, these pads. They say it enhances the battery life of wireless mice. I don't understand how that could possibly be. But it's 3M, so I don't think they're lying. There's something about it that is just designed for optical mice. It's a nice size, and it's super thin. So you can put it on something, on any surface, and it doesn't raise it up. Which I don't like the foam mouse pads that raise it up a little bit. This thing, it just makes it a better surface. So you can continue to use whatever your shiny surface is, but put this 3M precise mouse pad on it,
gotcha.
and it'll help a lot. It makes the mouse much more effective.
Yeah, it's not real bad, but if you're playing a game like Word, my wife claims she's trying to move it around to the different letters and click it. You can notice it's lagging there.
I'm almost certain, now that you say it's a reflective surface, I'm almost certain that that's what it is.
Great.
Appreciate
that.
Give that a try. I love these. I use an MX Anywhere, which is Logitech's kind of portable wireless optical mouse. But I always use it. Actually, I just pulled my 3M mouse pad off my desk, and I think it's time to wash it. You got coffee stains and dust and stuff. But I have to say, this really does seem to work better. And almost all mice are optical now. I'm even this wired mouse that I'm using. I believe it or not, I love these cheap Microsoft mice, partly because I'm a lefty, and they're hand agnostic. They don't care what hand you're using, and they're cheap. I buy these by the half dozen as well, along with those pads. Oh, I'm sorry, it's got me overexcited. I love advocating little things. That's a great stocking stuffer, you know? $8. They sell them on Amazon. 3M precise mouse pad with repositionable adhesive backing and battery-saving design, MP200PS. And I see the last time I bought some was 2012. So this is a six-year-old mouse pad I'm using right here. So they last a long time, too. Line two, Richard, West L.A., Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Leo. Good to talk with you again. Leo, there's been a lot of controversy about being able to be tracked with cell phones. If your cell phone is off, can you be tracked?
No. So, yeah, you're talking about the New York Times published an article last week about all of these apps that are tracking you. Now, the first thing you have to understand, you know, one of the apps they mentioned is a weather app. But yes, of course it knows where you are. It wouldn't be very useful if it said every time you launched it, well, what weather do you want? Searches often track you. So if you search for pizza on Google, it'll suggest pizza parlors in your neighborhood. So it's a little disingenuous of the New York Times to say, 49 apps that are tracking you. But it is, on the other hand, a good point to be made. People sometimes forget this. Android and iOS both will warn you. iOS particularly will warn you if something's tracking you. And this is what I'd recommend. Sure, when you turn the phone off, it's not tracking you. So if you want to, you know, you want to go visit your girlfriend and you don't want anybody to know, you turn the phone off and it won't track you, but you won't get any calls either. Nothing will happen. It's not working. Better go into the location settings, and you can revoke location settings for almost any app. It's easy on iOS, a little harder on Android, but you can do it. And if it doesn't have any location permissions, in theory, you know, the operating system is protecting you by keeping it from getting your location.
Leo?
Yes.
Snowden said some time ago that the government can turn on your phone. Do you agree with that?
No. And I'd like to see a demonstration of it. I have some respect for Edward Snowden. I think because of him, we learned a lot about government surveillance, although less than you might think. Really, he just confirmed what a lot of people knew and suspected already. The New York Times does have an article, I'll put it in the show notes, How to Stop Apps from Tracking Your Location. But your fear is that, and by the way, I've said this before, but if you ever watch a Jason Bourne movie, you know, almost always these spy movies begin with a damsel in distress, usually attractive young damsel in distress. I don't know why there's never middle-aged damsels. Anyway, the spy, Jason Bourne in this case, rescues her. She hops in the car. What's the first thing he does? He takes her cell phone, takes out the battery, snaps it in half, and throws it out the window. Why? Because they are tracking devices. They are tracking devices. But if it's off, no. The government can't turn it back on. Nobody can turn it back on if it's off, because it's off. It's not receiving. So in order for that to be true, you'd have to come up with some idea that there is some magic radio that you can't power off on a smartphone that's always listening for government instructions and then turning itself on. There are devices, if they're on a network, your computer, for instance, there's a setting in your computer called Wake on LAN that means if there's network activity, turn on. That's for the IT guy who wants to update the computer remotely, not for the government. But those computers are on a network, and they have a network card that is listening on the network. Your phone is not like that. If your phone is off, it's off. Edward Snowden, you might remember if you saw the documentary Citizen One, which was great, refused to type his password on his computer unless he covered himself and the computer and the keyboard with a coat so that no government cameras in the hotel room
could see his password, he was a little bit paranoid. He probably had good reason. He was an NSA consultant. He is living in Russia now. I'm grateful to him for revealing all of this. But he's also made us a little more paranoid maybe than we need to be. So read, I will put a link to the New York Times article. I will put a link to the apps and how to know if the apps are tracking you. In almost every case, the reason they're tracking you is for, first of all, for functionality. If it's a weather app, it has to. And second, because they sell advertising data and they want to advertise to people who are in that region. You know, if you're getting an ad for a shoe store in your town, that's because it knows you're there. They don't want to advertise to somebody in Muncie, Indiana. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Now, somebody's pointing out, this is actually probably a good caveat. If somebody could physically get access to your phone, it would be absolutely possible to modify it in such a way that you would press and hold the turn off button and slide to turn off. You know, you'd press the power off button and that it wouldn't actually power off. It would just go into a mode where it looks like it's powered off. It's not responsive, but in fact, the radios are still working. But that's going to require access to the phone, or at the very least, hacking your phone in a significant way. So the government can't turn on, in general, phones. This is, and by the way, this is true in general about hacking. It's if somebody is targeting you specifically, they can get you. There's no way you're going to escape it. There's so many ways they can get you. But they have to, but it's a lot of effort. You know, they have to do things like in those movies where they swap the phones and they do things. They have to be targeting you. There's no generalized way the government could turn on a phone and track you. Let's not get too paranoid. Hello there, Mr. Dick DiBartolo.
Leo, how you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I always put a mirror in front of my camera when I go to bed, so whoever is looking at me just themselves. Sees themselves.
I think that's exactly. A great idea.
Exactly.
For some reason, when I look at me, I see David Letterman. I don't understand it. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know how it works, but that's what I see.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
So, hello. How's everything going?
Everything is good. You know, it's so funny. Yesterday and today, Leo, it was in the 50s.
Now, that Lisa would still think that's cold.
Oh, okay.
She right. wore, you know, she dug out. She said, I found a coat. She dug out of our closet the coat I bought to go to Antarctica. It's rated for 40 below. You know, it's one of those mountain hard gear, heavy duty, yes. With a hood and a tie and a thing.
Yes.
And it was, you know, it was like 45 degrees when we were out there. She was like, and she was still freezing.
I know. When we were at the Miami boat show, it was going to go down to 48, and we were watching the 11 o'clock news, and they said, the emergency warming shelters will be open. The emergency warming shelters.
I think because I live back east and grew up there until I was 15, I think it's built in. I wasn't even wearing like an over. I was just wearing like a pea coat, and it was fine.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I go out.
You're used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let me get gizwiz.biz on the horn here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you might want to just see what I'm talking about.
Should I check first?
On my website, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to go get it. Hold on. I have one.
Oh, you have one? Oh, this is going to be a riot.
Oh, yeah. You can dance. You can. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't do it. He's the dancing queen. It's Dick DiBartolo, Mad's maddest writer and an ABBA fan, obviously. Is that disco, though, Dancing Queen?
Oh, yeah.
I guess it is.
Absolutely. It was very big at clubs.
I saw a thing I got to get you. Megan had it. It was a, like a coat with fiber optics in it. It was beautiful. I know you love LEDs and stuff.
Yeah.
It was, apparently it's for raves. But it was,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it was really cool. Anyway, Dick is Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We love him. He shows up every week with crazy gadgets or gizmos. Sometimes, actually, they're pretty serious. What do you got this week?
Well, this is a gift you give somebody, and they'll look at the box and go, wow.
Is it a white elephant? Is this going into the white elephant box?
I can't wait to try on my Technic hands-free device collar. And actually, so...
Wait a minute. What are you doing there?
All right. So what it is, and you and I talked about one of these, I believe, 8 years ago. Yeah. And I'm amazed the company is still around. The company is called Prank Pack.
Prank Pack.
Prank Pack. And they make boxes of gadgets that are so bizarre. The my favorite was the one I did on the Gizwiz when you and I were doing it 8 years ago. It was the electric coffee maker shower soap dispenser.
I want that. So the idea you is you wrap a real gift in this box.
That's exactly
and
right.
And they think, oh, my God, what have you given me?
Exactly. And when you open the box, there are side panels that say, you've been pranked. Your real gift is inside this box.
Oh, how funny.
But, you know, we had a new host on World News Now last week, and I said to the producer, if I get a prank pack and can build the gadget that looks something like what's on the box, you is actually, it okay to t-
You actually made – so let me show you Dick with the prank pack. Here's a picture. It's called Technic. And what is it? It's a phone holder.
On a long rod – that you wrap around your neck so that you can walk around.
Who would ever want something like that? That just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
This is not a prank.
That's a real thing?
This is a real thing. It's called the Aduro Lounger. It's from Ross, $4.99. I mean $4 and adjustable neck mount.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's mine is in hot pink.
That is
you didn't need to make it. You could have got one for $5.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
That's when we know we've gone too far. Like, we're in late stage consumer capitalism is when a device that is intended to be a prank actually is made and bought.
Yeah, exactly. Except one prank pack also that I do not think exists is Baby's First Fire. So it comes with a little barbecue pit, three logs, lighter fluid.
How many wrapping boxes do you get?
You know, first of all, they're expensive. They're $7, it's an empty box. The thing is,
they got to print them and.
Oh my gosh, Leo! They do all kinds of scenarios and they do great photos. And the boxes, all kinds of printing on them that look like this could be a real.
The funny thing is, this is not a joke.
You know, when you said, wait, I'm going to get one, I thought you're going to run and get another prank pack. I never expected that you would have something almost and cheaper than the prank box.
$4.99. Get the box and throw the device out.
But does it come in tech black? Because I don't want to look silly. Yeah, I don't want to look silly wearing that on the subway.
I'm telling you, you're going to see these on the subway. You can. It rotates 360. Not very good. I mean, it's a piece of plastic, but it's. And then the idea. Well, for me, I got it because of Pokemon Go. I want to be able to ride my bike or walk down the street and catch Pokemon. I think this one's made for somebody a little smaller, though. The phone's right in my face.
When you go riding by with this pink thing around your neck, do people say, hey, you know the world famous tech guy? That's him. With the pink.
With the hot pink.
With the
neck,
hot pink.
Neck phone holder. It looks like, you know what it looks like? A harmonica holder. Like sometimes like Bob Dylan or Bruce Springsteen would have.
Oh, yes. They just need a place when they're resting.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, and then they can, if it's short enough, you can adjust it and blow your harmonica. It's kind of like a neck harmonica holder, probably inspired by that. I don't know. I think this maybe have gone too far with my Pokemon Go addiction. This is not a prank. This is the Aduro.
No, the real thing. Lounger. So if you want the fake one, look for Tech Neck Prank.
Or pay less and get the box.
Pay less and get a real one.
And you know what? Keep this for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
actually,
I'm
gonna do. You don't have to put a gift inside. You just give them that.
It, by the way, it has a Prop 65 cancer and reproductive harm warning on it as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because you might walk in front of a bus while you're wearing it. Reproductive harm, you'll never be reproducing again. No, I'm going to save this. I'm going to give a gift to my kids in this thing. This is, you gave me a great idea.
Oh, that's a, that.
I'm keeping the neck harness.
And you got a free prank box.
I got a free prank box.
Just be there when you give it to them. Otherwise, they'll never open it. They'll go, I'm not opening that.
Put that in the white elephant closet. Do you ever do white elephant? I bet you'd be fun in a white elephant.
You know what? I never have.
What? Somebody please invite Dick DiBartolo. He has a warehouse full of crap like this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how that works. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You bring the worst gift you can think of, something really terrible.
Right.
And then it's kind of like a Secret Santa. You put all the gifts wrapped in the middle. You draw lots. Somebody picks the gift. And then the next person in order has a choice. They can pick a new gift or steal the white elephant from you.
Oh, okay, no.
Yeah, Bill,
Gaines and I used to try and find the worst possible thing to give each other.
He's talking about Bill Gaines, the creator of Bill, Mad
Max. Yeah, you're the great. Yeah. You know, I found the cow with a clock in the stomach and stuff
well,
like that.
You've really taken this to a new level, actually, Dick. Yeah. Oops, I just snapped my Aduro.
I think you have.
Let me do it. I'm going to do it in portrait mode because then I can.
Oh my god!
Then I can watch a movie.
Portrait mode too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But wait, there's more.
If you want to play the home version of our game, just go to Dick's website, GIZWIZ.BIZ, the GizWiz. We call him that because he's a gizmo wizard, GizWiz.biz. Click the link that says the GizWiz visits the tech guy. You can get a link to the prank boxes. I think you said they're sold out, right?
They sold out, but I found a different link.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a whole assortment at pranko.com, P-R-A-N-K-O.com. But while you're there, there's another button on his website you should click, the What the Heck Is It contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine, if you can identify, and we only have till the end of the month now, a close-up of some gizmo or gadget. Looks like
perfect.
A tiny speaker for a mouse house.
Could be.
Thank you, Dickie D. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I hope you have a great geek week. I'm Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. See you next time. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week at Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.